to our viewers in the United States and around the world. It is Monday, April 18th. I'm Kristen Fisher. Laura Jarrett and Christine Romans are off this morning. Our breaking news coverage of the war in Ukraine begins with a fight for Mariupol. Ukrainian forces still defending the southeastern port city, rejecting a Russian order to surrender. Russia's military responding that any further resistance will be eliminated. Russian forces say no one will be allowed in or out of Mariupol starting
today. Some guitar and that
men left in the city will be
filtered,
meaning relocated for screening by Russian troops. That's according to an advisor to Mariupol's mayor. 200 miles to the north, Russian shelling and hurricanes killed at least 5 civilians and wounded 15 others. CNN's Matt Rivers joins me now from Lviv in western Ukraine. And Matt, we understand that you had a series of missile strikes there a short time ago after a bit of a break. But what can you tell us?
Officials say at least 4 different missile strikes struck across Lviv. 3 of them, we're told, were hitting military infrastructure. The 4th, which is a scene that we actually just visited, with just a tire repair shop. It was a civilian location. We're not actually allowed to broadcast live from there right now due to Ukrainian military restrictions. At least 6 people killed, at least 11 injured. And yet what we are seeing in Lviv...
I wonder why they feel inclined to report on this out of all the things going on in the world. They're showing the same stuff over and over and over, the same videos. The drone videos of buildings blown up, stuff like that. Ukrainian forces in Mariupol reject Russian order to surrender. Let's see the fire, that's what war is. There's wars all over the country, or all over the world, rather. There's war in Yemen. There's wars in Africa. They call them terrorist groups and stuff, but like France is down fighting against groups in Africa. I think like Somalian groups and the Al-Shabaab. So, I mean, they can cover wars all over the world if they want. I don't know why they're covering this one so much right now. Probably because it has to do with Europe. Yeah, because they've, you know what I mean, there's been devastating wars in countries all over the world for a long time. But they're zeroing in on this one right now, as if there aren't any other ones. Yemen is another one. Saudi Arabia is fighting Yemen. And the same sort of thing is happening, I think, because Saudi has purchased U.S. weapons and they're a U.S. ally. And Yemen is aligned with Iran. Or at least the people fighting in Yemen, right? Or some of them. I wonder why, you know, we probably aren't. The U.S. feels more connected to Europe and shares more viewership and has sister stations over there and whatever. And so probably it's easy for them to promote and control the info on these together and profit off of the coverage. More so than in Yemen or Africa. Africa might be more secretive operations and they wouldn't let people really report as much. And it's not displacing a lot of people sometimes. That's not the case so much in Yemen, I think. Over the years, anyway. There's just a couple places. There's plenty of others, sadly, I think, that might need some coverage. Conflicts and issues. Russian forces control most of the world, I think so. Ukraine 5 killed in a new rocket attacks in Kharkiv. in the past, oh, I said maybe a decade ago, I got the feeling that they want to know who feels what about everything. You know, the government and the powers that be want to know who's on whose side, who's going to support you financially and otherwise. And just watching a broadcast, they could gauge emotions on it if they look closely enough. And a lot of people voice how they feel anyway. I just switched it to Fox. It says the fentanyl war, and then it showed their logo and they went to commercial. Now this is Rolf Sanchez and Lviv, Ukraine.
The situation with civilians inside Mariupol almost unimaginable. The mayor says at least 10,000 have been killed, but the final toll may be much, much higher than that. There is almost no food. People have been drinking filthy water to survive.
They're showing a map.
An advisor to the mayor is saying
that's pretty much exactly what I would imagine Russia would want.
No one allowed in, no one allowed out.
Men are being interrogated.
They're having their phones searched. And this advisor claiming that 1 in 10 of them is being sent to the
A few weeks ago, they showed that they had half of the Donbass region. They had most of the path to Korea.
NBC 4 correspondent Rob Sanchez, please stay safe.
Now it's something that's filled up.
Ukrainian President Zelensky is once again imploring Western leaders to implement embargoes on Russian oil. In his nightly address yesterday, Zelensky spoke about the need for swifter sanctions against Moscow in response to his latest violent attacks on his country.
I don't need any information from this guy. He's not my president.
Push forward. And so for the Ukrainians, I see fighting unlike we've ever seen before. I think we're going to see more violence. I think we're going to see more Russia. I think we're going to see more Russia.
Too bad that countries have to be so polarizing over this polarized and tribal of this issue. We don't see it, probably. I wish people don't see it, probably, because their entire country, or most of the people in their country, they can amplify them. Amplified to the same way.
Coming up, Ukraine's defiant president drawing the line between the third world of Russia. Plus, Russian propaganda spilling across the border despite efforts.
No, I should double check France.
Poll
in France showed that, I think it said 53% of French people sympathize with Russia's reasons for invading Ukraine or something to that effect. Basically sided with Russia. This was a few weeks ago, too.
A change to open up opportunities for underserved communities. The DOD also announcing support for a variety of programs that help those communities, including American Indian initiatives and environmental efforts. And the state of Illinois is offering free health care to illegal immigrants between the ages of 55 and 64. This coverage includes doctor hospitals, its lab tests, and services.
I used to know a chemist, and he made MDMA. Probably should be illegal and people could make their own medicine, and then they wouldn't process it into a deadly form, and people wouldn't mix it with deadly things, cut it with deadly things. Because you have a plant, and you can dose yourself. You can process it necessarily like this into this deadly form. You have people chew the coca leaves of the coca plant, but they make cocaine. So you don't have to process it into white powder. You can process anything, and this is not. We can process food.
And
a lot of people do it. A lot of people do it over and over and over.
Pounds of fentanyl have been seized in this country. The DEA also warning that there's going to be a nationwide spike.
There's a lot of sources that know where they get it from. And
this
drug is
primarily trafficked through the border. Do you think the Biden administration should be
doing more? There's a lot of suicides with it and a lot of overdoses.
Absolutely. It's not even talked about. I've never heard of fentanyl, like I said before, until the day he died. They said, we suspect it's fentanyl. And I was like, well, what is that?
It's something that affects all parents across the country, and your son Jalen will actually
creative of speech.
Yeah, we're unpacking the email now with Joe Concha next.
He only owns a fraction of it and probably just wants to make money first and foremost. And he doesn't have total control, he may never. And he knows what his demands are, or what his
versions of freedom are, exactly.
It's probably more liberal than what Twitter does. But when Twitter explains to him all the legal reasons they do all the nonsense they do,
then they start to agree with him a little bit.
So the Austrian chancellor added that he believes Putin knows exactly what is going on.
Because I think mainly the rules are for covering their asses while it's sued. So he may take a different approach.
That the war ends earlier than later.
That would be my concern.
CNN's Nada Bashir live in London with more. So Nada, what exactly does the Austrian chancellor say about concerns that President Putin is going to resort to nuclear weapons?
Well, President Zelensky has been a point of concern for weeks. And now, but according to Chancellor Nathan, he said that he couldn't say for sure whether or not Putin was going to use some sort of tactical nuclear weapon if he was back in the corner. And of course, he also noted that Putin, in his conversation with him, clearly understood the threat that such weapons pose, but also in particular understood that he could use nuclear weapons to threaten the rest of the world. So clearly, that
depends on what their objectives are, because they know what will happen if they use a weapon, both to the land and to them. Even if the U.S. responds with a conventional response, that would be pretty overwhelming if somebody uses a nuke on the
intelligence. Of course, over the weekend, we heard from Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky warning of what he expects to be an intensification of Russia's military campaign, military invasion in the Donbass region and eastern part of Ukraine.
Somebody said the U.S. has 800 bases around the world. So I don't know. A lot of people are on the U.S. side, the West side, but it's hard to argue that they're not like encircling Russia, encircling China, and sort of choking off these countries sometimes. With 800 military bases around the world, and the budget that they spend on the military, it's out of control. I wonder deep down how much these countries disagree with them. They may actually have more in common and agree more behind the scenes than these political parties lead on. Because some people profit off the differences in the conflicts. All commercials, every single one of these.
Yeah.
Jesus, whoa. No way.
Celtics. Jason Tatum's layup.
That was
the buzzer.
That was,
Celtics
wow.
win game one of their first round playoff series against the Brooklyn Nets.
The Celtics were 1 point behind, and they got the ball 12 seconds dribbled down the court, passed it around a few times, and then somebody got it, laid it in with like 0.2 seconds
remaining.
And then won by 1 point.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful pass and lay in, too. It was just boom, boom. Like something they probably worked on. And you can tell people were tired, too. People were just kind of dragging it.
And
then didn't Celtics fan during game
one
though.
Game two was Wednesday night in Boston.
Have it come. Some other player got ejected from North Carolina and threw something in the fan box. Or maybe it was on purpose.
Heat playoff record, 8 3-pointers made by Duncan Robinson.
You never get the full story about what happened and what he said and throughout the game and the vibe and whatever. You just get like a little snapshot of the reaction. It's usually by some tired athlete who's been screamed at by a lot of people way too many times.
The defending champion Bucks recovered after blowing a 16-point lead against Chicago yesterday.
Hanging
on to
be cool. Intense. Just having to deal with that day in and day out. Certain fans just hate
me. And an immaculate fourth inning of Baltimore. Yankee starter Nestor Cortez tied the Royals on 9 pitches to record the first.
Because you can kind of influence a sporting band if you're real loud and obnoxious, you can get people kind of off the game. Especially if you do it in Minnesota. If you like maybe got the home team and you're screaming around against the away team. It's real loud. In football, they can't make audibles as well as super loud.
The Boston Red Sox, now tied for first place, will look to take 3 out of 4 games to the Minnesota Twins as they wrap up this series at Fenway Park this morning. Marathon day in Boston will follow the
Boston Red Sox
marathon.
Played that multiple times. The next set player was interrupted.
The first pitch at Fenway. But the Red Sox off this game,
if I'm not mistaken, you're saying Toronto makes everybody vaccinated in their country, and so when our players go over there to play, a few of them are vaccinated on every team, and those players can't play, is what they're saying, I think. That's out of control.
And the week, my weekend was fantastic, but people are going to like what I have to say. But he did mention the Boston Marathon, and they're going to sneak that in with some great.
He meant I'd be glad to enter the country, actually.
But in the rain, it's maybe with some snow moving from the Northeast proceedings. Let's talk about it. We have two storms that are going to combine into one. This is almost going to be like a nor'easter type scenario, more like a March storm than an April storm. Already snowing in Chicago. We have snow in northern Indiana. It's snowing in Michigan. And this mess is all heading for the north. Today, heavy rain from the Carolinas into Virginia at 8 a.m. this morning, but not a good morning commute around Charlotte into Raleigh. Eventually, the rain comes into D.C. about the middle of the day. The rain will hold off in New York City until about 6 p.m., but all that blue in central Pennsylvania, western New York, and southern New York, that is all snow. And it's going to be a heavy, wet snow. And it's been a warm, early spring. And so we do have some leaves and buds on the trees in areas, especially the southern tier of New York and northern Pennsylvania. Those are the areas that we're most concerned with. This isn't just a little snowstorm. We have the potential for 6 to 8, maybe even 10 inches of snow from Scranton to Binghamton, the Holy Hunter, the Adirondacks, the Catskills, the Dale Valley. parents, thank you for that. And good luck again to all the Boston Marathoners today. And happy Patriots Day to my Rose Society. Still ahead, more bombshell text messages relating to January 6th. We'll dig into the reporting about how two former lawmakers and allies of Donald Trump lobbied the former president's chief of staff to return the 2020 election. We're back in just a minute.
All the way into your Tuesday, so right on the coast, that's going to be nothing but rain, but for interior areas,
right off the coast,
snowfall,
east coast,
at times, it's going to be a whole lot of
cold
snow,
up through
snow yet to come, some of these interior areas, yeah, there you go, that's what I was waiting for, maybe a foot of snow in upstate New York, so
that's
a really big snow event happening today into Tuesday, so tonight, a bit of a mess, a lot of wind up and down the coast. This is going to be some real winter weather, again, right along the coastline, so D.C. and New York and Boston, just rain. But if you live in the interior, buy a snowblower this weekend. There's no snow coming from here. All my stuff is why the snowblower has been drained to gas, that gas, and that one I'm talking about.
It's an expensive energy source of climate.
It's not fair for folks like my family, folks that I know, that are doing things the right way.
Biden's message is, come on over, we'll help you, you'll get something. You're here for you. They're going to need your government to survive.
Rachel Kimball Duffy sat down with Hispanic voters in the Lone Star State. She's here to tell us what she learned just months out from the midterm elections.
Some people say Little Pink Houses is about drugs, like little pink pills. Baseball. I've already had my fantasy league in the first weeks has had like two people that couldn't play because of COVID-19. I had to put them on the injury reserve.
Weekday 6 to 10 on MSNBC.
And pick up two more guys. I didn't have to, but they couldn't play, so I might as well. And two other people can't play too. I don't know, I forget. One was hit by a pitch. The other one might have been hit by a pitch. Day to day. There's been some rain-outs too.
Welcome back to Way Too Early. It's just before 5:30 a.m. on the East Coast, 2:30 out west. I'm John.
I found one player who's rained out like
the
2 to 3 hours before this game and took him out for another one.
CNN reporting that two Republican lawmakers
Pujols just killed one ball.
Encouraging the administration to overturn the 2020
upper part of the middle deck.
A series of texts between Meadows and Texas Congressman Chip Roy and Utah Senator Mike Lee sent between Election Day and January 6th show how the two Trump supporters were looking to the White House for guidance on how they could ensure Trump would remain president despite having lost.
He's been playing against lefties and smashing them. He's sitting against righties and opening day, he whiffed out on the righty a bunch of times. That's just too
funny. Right now.
He's got some records he's chasing, so can't sit him out too much if he wants to try to really We need ammo. Sets the record just last season. This weekend. I know that's not really what they go for and try to do, but it's his last chance, so it's probably in the back of his mind somewhere. I think he's hit 591 home runs, so there's 600 is one milestone. Also, be 600. I'll have to see what the next milestone is. But I think he's fourth on the all-time list.
Somewhere in there. Good morning. We've been following every twist and turn by the January 6th and 8th. They are not commenting on these list runs and taxes yet. But give us a sense at...
That's not interesting to me.
Close.
That's the only thing I'm talking
about. On Capitol Hill.
Some real gossipy and like weird that really didn't bother me talking about something weird like this. Report new tests between GMP and Meadows.
We know that they've already reached out to three different Republican lawmakers, Kevin McCarthy, Jim Jordan, and Scott Perry.
It's way too early for just like weird stuff. They're trying very hard to keep the January 6th committee and everything about it in the news until the midterm elections, I think. That's why we gotta hear this story and stuff about January 6th and this committee and every blow by blow, tidbit of whatever. It's breadcrumbs about it for days and days and days on end. Because Democrats want to use this as a black eye against Republican candidates, and in the midterm elections, their candidates are going to use it to say, like, these are, we should replace these people because they voted for this, or they're under investigation, or they said this, or this. Or just this is their party in general, this is what they want, okay. Yeah, I can't imagine them keeping this up for two more years until the next general election. I'm sure it'll be in the news. They'll bring it up at some point in the future. But they had a point where every single day they had the words January 6th on the screen for days and days and days and days on end on MSNBC and CNN. It's like as big to them as like COVID and Ukraine. COVID meant pharmaceuticals. Ukraine means a different audience. A new market. At a war, people want to. I think people sometimes tune in for wars, war privileges. Because they like seeing things blow up. So these are the options. Texas show GOP lawmakers embracing the big lie. Texas Hispanics discuss top issues from midterms.
The president, Secretary Mayorkas. Kamala Harris, they say that the border is not open. Is the border open?
Asking the questions in the same frame, so they look like they're not actually talking to each other.
Exactly. That's the only thing they have now, because they're leaving the election. Tina, should the president and Kamala Harris come to the
board. I'm
not sure that that would make a difference. One thing that I think would make a difference
can't
is
tell from the phone.
Support and growing support for the bipartisan.
It's a small room, that might have something to do with it.
It's time.
So instead of showing all of them at one time, they just go back and forth.
Is illegal immigration cheapening citizenship?
Yes, ma'am. It's not fair for folks like my family, folks that I know, that are doing things the right way.
You know, there's a Republican governor of Texas, if they have the, they can work with the federal government and totally fix this problem if they can work together and if they know how to fix it. These people are just nuts. They like to make immigration a political issue. Democrats think illegal immigrants are going to come over and vote Democrat. And I think they probably do. Especially when there's a Democratic Party in office. But I think Republicans have learned too that some places have conservative immigrants that come through and that stay with conservative areas. Because Texas is pretty mixed. Democrat, Republican, I think, 50-50-ish. But like, I don't know. There's just a lot of blaming and finger pointing. If the governor was a great governor, he would fix it, not just blame and finger point. I mean, I understand he hates Democrats and Biden's Democrat, so it's easy low hanging fruit for him. But I'd be more impressed with a solution. Even if it's telling Joe Biden what to do in your state, which I think they do give him money to help secure the border. And he can probably apply for more money if they need more money. He has issues and things he's got to do to keep people safe in the United States, not helping out. Because these people don't just stay in Texas, they go where they want. So there's really no point in just bickering or finger pointing or shipping in Washington, D.C. I don't think that's very helpful anymore.
Said that Texas is going to flip blue. Doesn't look like that's the case. No, not at all. Turns out if you open your border, you invite the cartels and all the problems into those southern border states, into Texas, you defund police, you ruin schools, you do indoctrination about transgender, and you really
not too long
everything that they value.
Not San Jose, bro. Those little guys. Breaking the law in the United States,
that
doesn't
give
them a label and call them a cartel or whatever, but break the law, you get caught, you're in jail. In Mexico, you can't control it in New Mexico.
They want to work, they're the hardest working, and they are the greatest demographic for small businesses.
I've been to Mexico a lot of times.
They're not happy with
that.
She
knew
they pulled an opportunity for the Republican Party if they move in there.
And
well, you did such a great job with it. If you asked all the right questions,
and
you come
into contact with police and federal elements,
First of all, thank you for joining us. I'm Box and Brown. Yes. Thanks for having me, guys.
And I've heard all the horror stories. You know, growing up, it's like everybody talks about it. What they say sometimes sounds horrible, the child trafficking and stuff, and drugs, except for weeds and carrots. Other weird drugs.
Migrants at the border. What can President Joe Biden do to fix them?
and the unbelievable true story of the man who took on Putin and lived to expose the truth. The Sundance award-winning CNN film, The Mommy, airs Sunday at 9 p.m. on CNN.
I like the drugs, but the drugs like me.
Why
inflation comes for the Big Mac.
Well, a lot of it is labor costs. I mean, you know, going back to our first one, people who want to have higher wages, companies are saying, we can't afford to pay you more unless we raise prices. And so states where wages are going up, they're seeing the price of the Big Mac also going up as well.
I haven't eaten meat or food. Fast food or food just out of organic in about 10 years.
The Russia's actions in Ukraine where Moscow is caught with four other nations that the United States has designated as state sponsors of terrorism.
I want organic and vegetarian at the same time.
Wait, Toril is coming right back with that story.
About 10 years ago. Last thing I switched to organic was coffee and stuff. So at the beginning of 2012, I still drank some Starbucks coffee and McDonald's coffee, I think. And then I had given that up. It was tough because Starbucks didn't have organic coffee brewing. Didn't matter McDonald's because I could just sit there and eat it out. But in Long Beach, I had to get them. They brewed specially for me. It was pretty crazy. But every morning they would brew for me like a special French roast of a Yukon blend organic coffee that they had like up in a bag somewhere. If they didn't brew for anybody else, they just that's pretty stark. Then they don't call the Serengeti blend that's organic, but that one is kind of hard to find. It's Starbucks. Yeah, so it was pretty good. It was pretty good. It was kind of elaborate, and I was kind of just, oh my god, that's how you gotta make my coffee. Everybody else had like cups and normal looking stuff, and I had this big French press, and they would hand it to me, and I'd give it back to them when I was there. This was before COVID times. I don't know what they would do now exactly. Yukon blend's not real good. It's a Sumatra blend. And Sumatra coffee tastes really bad to me. I think it has something to do with just the soil and how maybe crustaceans or something have died in this soil for a long, long time. I don't think that's good soil for making coffee beans, Sumatra. They all taste like butt. CNN's that promoting a guy named Navalny in their advertising. I think they're doing a 1-hour special on the guy. This case sounds tragic, even maybe worse than Assange, or just the same level. But Russia's, but it sounds like they poisoned him and imprisoned him just for
inflation, migrants at the southern border, rising crime, the coronavirus pandemic. I mean, those are just some of the big problems that the U.S. is currently facing, and problems that are weighing down President Biden's political standing. The most recent CNN polls peg Mr. Biden's approval at just
49%.
So the question is, what can the president do to face any of these problems?
about inflation today. The economists, if you talk to them, left and right, will agree that the American Rescue Plan was larger than it should have been, that it needed to have been.
When Biden faces the problems, can
so some of the inflation that we're now experiencing comes around the corner.
The problem is that he can't solve it. Ones that have taken a long time to get to this point.
And
he can start solving
them,
put us on the right path, take some first steps.
But it's kind of out of Biden's hands. And so when we get these monthly
might be kind of like shock
economic reports, people say, look, the highest inflation in 40 years.
Seems like he changed so drastically across the board.
They don't have particularly good answers.
I think politicians a lot of times would just prefer the somebody else to break the news that things have to change or going to change. As soon as inflation takes care of that, or business, or somebody, something else, we don't got to break the news to people that, well, life's changing, or things cost more, or this is going
to
be different.
They need to help the
businesses, corporations.
Deal with that.
He's two predictable things that they
Trump
do are
going
to form the future.
That he's lifting some Trump restrictions, and that's likely to increase the that's just a thorny problem that there's not a whole lot the president can do to manage. Same thing with crime. The murder rate spiked during the pandemic for reasons we don't entirely understand. It's continued to go up since then. And so if a trend started before Joe Biden became president, it's difficult to pin that on him, and it's difficult to identify what he can do when things are happening in states and cities around the country.
So, John, you say there's not a lot that President Biden can do right now to fix these issues, but he can do something about messaging. And you write that fellow dance Democrats in the administration could be saved or, you know, salvaged with better messaging, fixing that communications issue. So what specifically do you think that Democrats want to hear?
Well, they want a better story to tell. And the issue that you get in election seasons is each side tries to tell a dominant story about what's happened over the last couple of years. And when you have a constellation of problems like President Biden is facing, Republicans are saying, look, country's out of control. It's Joe Biden's fault. Democrats want a better answer. The problem is that in midterm elections, almost always the president's party loses in those elections. You've got very narrow majorities in the Congress. If you lose any ground in the Senate and just a little bit of ground in the House, Republicans are going to be in control. 26 out of the last 29 midterm elections, the party that is not holding the White House gains House seats. There is every reason to expect that to continue this year. And however President Biden talked and or his aides talk about conditions in the country, it's very difficult to see anything they can do in terms of communication that is going to alter that reality.
All right, John Harwood, thank you so much for your analysis this morning and for sharing your beautiful library in the background. I give it a 10 out of 10.
Thank you.
All right, so the scores now. The Celtics stunned the Nets in game one of their playoff series with a thrilling buzzer beater. Andy Stoltz at this morning's Weaver Report.
Hey, good morning, Brendan. Good morning. Let's go to the playoff game with the Celtics who had it all in their history. The buzzer, the Boston crowd goes absolutely nuts.